It's time for the Dobbins Minute Coaches Show on ESPN Tri-Cities, coming to you live from East Coast Wings and Grill, East Stone Drive, Kingsport. Now, here's Steve Wilmoth and your host, Todd Freeman.
And welcome to Inside Dobbins Minute Football. A little echo there. Way to start out 2020 season. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are having a coaches show. You know why we're having a coaches show? As of right now, we are playing football in East Tennessee. So we're looking forward to it. So maybe some changes here in the crazy world of 2020, but we'll have our coach, Joey Christian, here soon. And, of course, we'll bring in Steve Wilmoth here. But we are at a new location this year, East Coast Wings, here in Kingsport, Tennessee, on Stone Drive, right across from Lowe's home superstore. East Coast Wings is a great establishment. Glad that they have us here this year and looking forward to it. And we'll talk about what they offer. It's a great restaurant if you've never been out here. If you have, you know what's here. It's a great outside sitting area, a lot of great things. So come out to us if you're looking for us. If you want to come out and eat with us, come to East Coast Wings this year here on the Inside Dobbins Minute Football. But stay right here. When we come back, we'll bring in your voice of the Indians, Steve Wilmoth. We'll get this 2020 season started off right. So stay right here on ESPN Tri-Cities.
At East Coast Wings and Grill, we love local high school football. Be ready for the game by using East Coast Wings and Grill's online ordering app. We have awesome tailgating packages for delivery or pickup. You can also dine in and enjoy the game of the week in our Stay Healthy patio and dining rooms. There's nothing more important to us than our local customers and supporting what they love, like the Dobbins Minute Indians, East Coast Wings and Grill, in Johnson City and Kingsport. Don't forget to donate blood and plasma at Marsh Regional Blood Bank to receive $5. Now, back to the Dobbins Minute Coaches Show on ESPN Tri-Cities.
And welcome back here to Inside Dobbins Minute Football with Coach Joey Christian. And I tell you what, bring in the voice of the Indians, Mr. Steve Wilmoth. And I tell you what, Steve, did you think that we would ever get to this point 2 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, 3 months ago?
I was not convinced. First of all, hello, Todd. Good to see you, my
good
friend.
Good to see you, buddy.
No, I was not convinced that we would have, and I told you this before, I was not going to be convinced until I was sitting here with a pair of headphones on, and a mic in front of me talking Dobbins Minute Football that we would indeed be at this point on August the 19th. I am thrilled that we are, and we are socially distancing here at East Coast Wings. There is plenty of room for you to come and have something to eat if you want to eat inside to do just that. We're in the corner away from everybody. Coach Christian, and I want to stress this, Coach Christian is away from us.
Do you like my setup?
I do. I love your setup. Coach Christian will be away from us. Well, he's got his headset. It's extended away from us. It is plugged in our equipment, but we don't want him, no offense to him, we don't want him anywhere near us, okay? No offense to him.
Well,
and you don't, and Dobbins Minute football fans and players don't want him anywhere near us. We're doing everything absolutely as safely as possible. And so I just want all our listeners to know that. But we are thrilled to be here. Todd, this is the 100th year of Dobbins Minute football. And that has kind of snuck up on people because of the pandemic and everything that's going on throughout the spring and summer. So this is the 100th year of Dobbins Minute football. And Dobbins Minute football enters this season 4 wins away from being one of the rare schools across this nation in high school football with 800 wins.
Wow.
And we would be the second team in the state to get to that point this year. So it's a huge year for Tribe football. So we definitely want to get it in. And it's up to all of us to do so safely and keep everybody safe and healthy.
Yeah, and you know, guys, it is what we got to do. We want to keep everybody healthy. We want to play football. We want to do the things that we have to do, social distancing-wise and the mask stuff and all that, to be able to carry this season on. Because, Steve, there's one thing that me and you talked about in the last couple of weeks is the one thing that we do know is that there is unknown. And so we'll go through the schedule. We'll talk about how it looks right now and everything else. But that doesn't mean that that's what this is going to turn out to be. And we just, like everything else that we have done in 2020, I guess my favorite word is we're going to have to be flexible.
Flexible, understanding, patient. And if you know me and if you really know Todd, those aren't words that typically people associate with us.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But it's going to require that from all of us. I mean, let's face it. attendance at a lot of away games is going to be reduced. We're going to miss seeing a lot of fans that we normally see at the football games. So that's something we're going to have to get used to. And maybe, hopefully, you know, we're starting to see, you know, I track the numbers every day. We're starting to see some very encouraging things here locally, but that doesn't mean you let your guard down.
You
keep doing what you're doing. And maybe towards the end of the year, we can relax some of these regulations.
Keep doing what you're doing. And listen, everybody has – so if you're a fan that's planning on traveling, the only thing that I can tell you in this is get online. If you want to go to the ball game, call the school that we're going to early, Monday, Tuesday, at the latest Tuesday. Find out what they're allowing, what they're not allowing, and see if you can even go. But don't wait till Thursday or Friday in this time of year and think that well, man, I want to go to the ball game. Because one thing that Dobbins Bennett has fortune of, and they're not selling tickets until after, lunchtime, I think, Thursday, and then they're
it's
not
home game.
On home games, and they're not selling tickets at the stadium the day of. You can't. So after Thursday at 12, you can't get a ticket, and then after 5,000 seats sold, they're done. That's a sellout because there's 10,000 seats in the stadium. So you can't – we're fortunate to have 10,000 seats. Most people have 1,000 seats. You got to be prepared. But here's the deal. Always possible, and I won't say we'll be there, but any way we can make it, we're planning on broadcasting every game. So you will have an avenue to enjoy Dobbins-Bennett football.
And the way I read the ticket situation this week from Tennessee High is if you do not have one today, I think that window is closed now.
I think that window
I haven't seen officially from the administration at Tennessee High, but there were very few tickets that were going on sale through Dobbins Bennett today, and my guess is those went very quickly. So that's just the situation that we're in. Nobody likes it. I don't like it that there's going to be more people not there and maybe listen to me. That's not the objective at all.
No.
We
actually like for you to be there
and
listen to us. And I'll be honest with you, we had some exciting news this year about away games, about some broadcast stuff. Still might do that. We're probably not going to do it this Friday, but we're going to give you an easier way to listen into the stadium. And unfortunately, we'll talk a little more of that. But I've kind of put that on hold just because we don't know.
Right.
You know, you can always listen to us at home, but we're just going to try to give you a way that when we're in Knoxville or whatever, you can listen to our broadcast.
And you can always, and you can go on the app, and we know the app is,
delayed.
A little bit delayed. What we're trying to do is be current.
Yes.
And, but you just, look, it's going to be for us, just like it is for everybody else, a big change. And we're not going to be cozied up in a press box in away games.
Well, you and Tiger.
Me and Tiger, because they're not going to let us in.
Right.
Okay, we already know that. We're going to have to figure out a way to broadcast remotely, probably a lot of times without power, is what we're being told. And so that's going to be a unique challenge for us in the way we like to bring you the best coverage in Dobbins Bennett football. Without power, we have to make a serious adjustment. And I don't like it, but we're going to have to get used to it. And maybe, as I said, if we can continue – and improving these trends, maybe we can get in a situation where we can have a better situation. But we're fortunate at home. I believe I haven't seen those guidelines yet. Probably won't to the week of the first home game because, frankly, since we're on the road the first 2 weeks, I know in talking to Coach Frankie DeBuck, they're going to be learning from these other schools that we're visiting exactly what's working, what's not working, and they will incorporate them into their design plan for Dobbins Bennett home game. So, we think we're going to be able to be in the press box socially distanced with power and do everything that we have done at home. The road will be a challenge. So, but here's the bottom line. We want to do it and keep everybody safe because we want Dobbins Bennett football to be played. If that means Todd and I don't go, then we don't go.
We don't go.
Okay? The number one priority here is those kids and that football team. Period. End of discussion. And anything that we do that puts that at risk, we're not going to do.
We're not going to do.
Not going to do it.
And look, this is a team that we'll get into. I mean, this is a team that's got over 30 seniors. Mm-hmm. that's 30 seniors. This isn't college where they can redshirt or come back. They want to have their season. They are working hard to get better. They're working hard to social distance. They're working hard to do everything they can to be able to have a season. And Steve, that's one of the things about this football team we'll get into when Coach Christian gets here is they're very excited about this football team.
There's a lot of reasons to be excited. You're coming off a Big East Conference championship, quarter-round playoff appearance for the first time in, I believe it was, 7 years last year. A number of key people coming back, certainly, as is always the case with high school football. You've got an area of concern here or there. But overall, this is the overwhelming favorite to win the Big East Conference. Now, last year certainly was not in that position. So it's a different position being the hunted, as we say, being as the, you know, the huntee, if you will. So that's different. Everybody's going to be giving them their best shot. Some you know, great individual performances last year from some people that were unknown this time last year. Those are known commodities now, and people will be defending them differently or attacking them differently, if you will, on the offense side versus Dobbins Bennett defense, which was unbelievable last year in what they were able to do. So it's very exciting. It's a veteran team. It's a great schedule, and you just hate to see that this year not be played because there's so much excitement in building up to it.
You know, Steve, we go into this thing and talking about the schedule. As of right now, we hope that the schedule sticks. And the reason why we say hopefully and why, you know, with the pandemic going on, there could be some teams that can't play. Might even be us, but we'll just take it week by week. But we're on the second half, Steve, of the home-and-home contract, however you want to put it, where we play. The schedule's basically is just like it was last year, except you flip your home and away, which in return is we were pretty fortunate last year. We played two pretty good teams at home. We played Tennessee High and Oak Ridge. Well, now this year we have to go on the road, and we'll get into both these teams. But two teams that are especially early in the season, they're going to play us well, and we're going to have to go on the road. We're going to have to adapt to the COVID standards and how you're going to do that, and it's going to be a test right off the start this season.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, this schedule doesn't take a break for anything.
No.
You know, it's relentless from start to finish. Now, this schedule as it is,
yep,
is likely subject to change. Okay. So anything could happen, okay? And anything could happen up to the day of the game. So we hope that it doesn't, but the schedule as it is right now is very, very challenging. You got two really tough non-conference away games to open the season. Then you come home, open the Big East Conference schedule, you take a break. I'm kind of the opinion that an off day on week four of this particular season, if you can find any way to play a game there, you need to play a game there.
If you could move somebody up, you know, that has an open day too.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't – those schedules, you know, you're going to have to be massaged, but an open date early in the season, in this particular season and what we're facing – if you can play, you got to play.
On media day, we were just having a general conversation with Coach Christian. Maybe some things were brought up about his opinions about moving the schedule up or you know, waiting 3 weeks to play or whatever, anything else. And that was one thing that he told us, just kind of in a round table conversation. He's like, you better play them when you can play them.
Yeah.
And it makes a lot of sense because, you know, we've already seen Volunteer has had to shut down a couple weeks. South has had to shut down a couple weeks just from a positive test. So if you're clean and somebody else is clean down the line,
if you can find a non-conference game, and I'm just throwing this out there. I'm not telling anybody how to run the football program. If you can find a non-conference game to play on September the 11th, I'm sorry, Alcoa, on the last game of the year.
Yeah, bye.
But we need to reserve that date in case there's a region game that we somehow have to get in that particular way. I mean, you see what I mean? Play your non-conference Well, you can't. But wait. But I mean, now I say that there's not going to be another conference. Well, it's so wacky. There's so many scenarios you could get into. But I just think that taking off weeks early in the year, this particular season, if you can avoid it, it's probably thing to do.
And you know, our schedule is built on the way the conference was drawn out. Now, let's talk about some. We'll get off the COVID here, and we are waiting on Coach Christian for really try to get into this year's team. But Steve, so here we are, 2020, we're COVID. Well, we, as a state, we have to look ahead to 2021, and we all knew that reclassification discussions were on the table. They've been on the table. They had a called meeting Tuesday, and all the anticipation was about what they were going to change in football. And drum roll, please, and that would be?
Nothing. I mean, nothing. I sat through one of those, and it was an online meeting. It was in July, their Board of Control meeting, and they were talking about classification and having the discussion. And they had a gentleman whose name I forget. He rolled out probably 6 or 7 different football type classifications, from staying at 6A to 5A, how that would look, to going back to that 6A Super 32, to going to a 6A Super 32 plus 8, which would have been a Super 40. Then there was even a Super top 40 and 40 largest in Class 6A, 40 smallest. And seeing all this discussion was going on, it took hours and hours to present. And then they went in there on Monday and voted to leave it alone.
And guys, we were hearing traction, I mean, from some smarter people than us that kind of was involved, that were there for a while. We heard that there was some traction from going from 6 classifications in public to 5. That was my favorite, because I knew what 5, we remember what 5 got. And if you're wondering, that was the Big East days.
Yeah.
To then, me and you were hearing, and we were talking about it, is this Super 32 or even a Super 40 was really catching on and everything else, and we were kind of told, something's going to happen. Well, yeah, something happened. Well, so
something happened, just not in football.
Yeah, so in football right now, so for the next couple of years, is the way you see it, and that is in your classifications, is the way it's going to stay. Now, there could be a couple of teams that get shifted due to enrollment. That's one reason why they talk about reclassifications every couple of years, because they are going to have you'll have your enrollment. No, there's no problems that Dobbins, Bennett, or Science Hill will not be in 6A. They are 6A schools. They're not on the bottom of that list. But that would be the only thing to shake up. We will get into as it goes on. But basketball, softball, baseball has been 3 classifications as long as I can remember, and they are going to move that to 4 classifications.
Yeah, that's correct. Let's step back to football for just a minute. Even though the classifications are going to remain at 6, does not mean that the current region that Dobbins-Bennett is in will remain membership-wise as it is now, because we know there's a new school coming in Sullivan County that could very well be big enough to be in Region 1 6A. We know that those Morristown schools, east and west, are always on the borderline, and for whatever reason, they seem to flip back and forth. And my information was that east and west may switch this size. Next classification. It may be east the bigger school, west a smaller school. So there's things like that that would flip that membership. Now
let me ask you this, and you might not be able to answer this, but since they are reclassification, I mean, still 6 classes, but you have to be reclassified. Maryville plays up. That means Maryville.
They don't play up.
They are 6. Okay. Yeah. Okay. It was we were talking about that. If they went to Super 32, we knew they'd have to play up and have to get somebody to drop out. Okay. Yeah. So that's a no.
Yep. Yeah, they don't play up. So they're where they belong.
Okay. Well, yeah. In more ways than one.
Yeah. So Elizabethton plays up.
Well, Alcoa does not, where Elizabethton should be playing.
Yes. So, back to the 4 classifications in basketball, baseball, and softball, part of that discussion was the expansion of those particular state tournaments. Currently, 8 teams from the current 3 classifications advanced to the state tournament. They were worried, particularly basketball-wise, what that would look like to the state tournament. There was some discussion about reducing the number of teams that make it to the state tournament from 8 to 4, Fortunately, I don't like that. I'm not. Just schedule it, figure out a way to get it done. And that was ultimately the decision, was to leave it at 8 teams. So now, when you're talking about basketball, baseball, and softball, how does that look for Dobbins Bennett? Well, your DB signed seal. We believe Westridge. We believe that it will be Crockett and Boone. That could be the only 5 teams in the region.
For what
would be District 1 4A in those schools. That could be. Now, I've talked to another coach at DB that doesn't think Boone and Crockett's big enough that it may expand to where it was the 2 Morristown schools and Jeff County, which that's the difference between football and those sports is in football, in your region play, you visit those schools once every other year. And all the other sports, it's complete round robin. So in basketball, baseball, and softball, you're going to those other schools at least once. Now, a lot of times we end up playing those schools in non-conference anyway, but, you know, it would have been out of the enrollment. It split. But I think it's going to be more Boone, Crockett, Westridge, Science Hill, and DB. And that's just a region of, I mean, a district of 5 with only 8 league games.
Wow.
In those particular sports, which leads me to think that potentially in softball and baseball, could you do 3-game series?
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I know they don't like that in baseball because it typically would be a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday scenario, and it bleeds into weekend, but it's only 4 weeks of the year because you've only got 4 teams.
4 teams,
so
right.
You schedule, you can schedule around your weekend stuff. Yeah.
So there's some stuff that's been going on behind the scenes and in this preseason and TSSAA and some of that stuff. So, and Coach Christian is going to join us. It is the first week. There is some extra practicing that they're having to do that has nothing to do with football. And so they're going through that. And once again, it goes back to what we're talking about, having to adjust. But if you have turned in late, guys, we are at a new location this year. We are at East Coast Wings in Kingsport, Tennessee on Stone Drive, right across the street from Lowe's Home Improvement. And if you've never been to East Coast Wings, it is a wings grill. And they run specials every night. Steve, Monday night is Wings Day. 65 cents for each boneless wing, or you can do 75 cents for bone-in. And they got sides real cheap. Wednesday night, 12 and under eat free. You'd like to done that a few years ago.
I used to be all about those.
Yeah. So
especially when all 4 of mine were 12 and under.
Yeah, when all 4 were 12 and under. Steve knew where the 12 and under places was. So Wednesday night, 12 kids eat 12 and under free. A Thursday night, 65 cent boneless wings. Does include the heat index. You had 8 flavor. You can add flavor for 99 cents. And then so Monday and Friday they have happy hour appetizers. All the appetizers are half off. So it's a great place. They've been here a while now. They're very supportive of the area. Have an outdoor patio. So once again, we talk about the COVID stuff and everybody's worried about that. They've got the tables marked off. They got them spread out. They've got an outdoor seating area. So you can get in here. You can socially distance. And if you don't want to go out, they have their website. You can go on their website. And you can order online the website, and they will deliver it to you through that. So you can actually have it delivered, or you can order it and pick it up. So if you love wings, it's a great place to come. And they've got other food, but it is your type of wing place. But to me, it's some of the best wings in the region, bar none. But they've also got other things like a pepperoni flatbed. They've got a barbecue brisket flatbed type stuff. They got some platters. One of my favorites, I'm not eating no more, but it's a chicken mac and cheese skillet. I mean, they've just got some really, really, really good food here. And so come out here and join us. And when you come, let them know that you appreciate that, letting them be the host of your Inside Dobbins Bennett Football every Wednesday night. So we're going to take another quick break. We are hoping that Coach Christian comes here. If he doesn't, we'll get into Dobbins Bennett football, and we'll break down a little bit what the season holds and some of the things that's going on. So stay right here on Inside Dobbins Bennett football.
At East Coast Wings & Grill, we love local high school football. Be ready for the game by using East Coast Wings & Grill's online ordering app. We have awesome tailgating packages for delivery or pickup. You can also dine in and enjoy the game of the week in our Stay Healthy patio and dining rooms. There's nothing more important to us than our local customers and supporting what they love, like the Dobbins Bennett Indians, East Coast Wings & Grill, in Johnson City and Kingsport. Don't forget to donate blood and plasma at Marsh Regional Blood Bank to receive $5. Now, back to the Dobbins Bennett Coaches Show on ESPN Tri-Cities.
And welcome back here on the Dobbins Bennett, Inside Dobbins Bennett Football, and here at East Coast Wings. And Steve, we're going to talk about Dobbins Bennett, the team, because we've been around and we know what's going on. And, of course, like I said, guys, once again, we talked about having to adapt and everything else. Coach Christian's having to do some extra stuff first week, and part of the pandemic, we have to be adjusted. One, we're going to appreciate it. He is going to get here soon. But see, we talk about a rivalry. We'll get into the team, but the one thing about this football game is on both sides is this is a game that has been played. Let's see, 60, 70, 80, almost 90 times. Was this the 90th?
Oh, I had it right here in front of me. I thought it was like the 88th time.
Let's see.
It is the 88th time.
88, 80. So this is the 100th season of Dobbins Bennett football, and these two programs have played. This will be the 88th game. That's incredible.
It didn't start off well for the Indians back on November 11th, 1921. Vikings got us 53-3 that night.
And there was a game. September 1989, game scheduled to play at Tennessee High. Weather from Hurricane forced the game to be played at ETSU.
Was that Hurricane Hugo?
That might have been Hugo. It was Hugo in 89. Absolutely. Wow.
Not just a sportsman, boys and girls.
Not just a weatherman, too. of course, coach, our retired coach, Graham Clark, was in a hospital. Was it appendix?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was. So he didn't get to coach. I'd have to, of course, if he's listening, he'll text me. So they had to, Darryl Watson took over coaching duties. That was a loss for Darryl. I don't think Darryl ever, I think, of course, Darryl was apologetic for anything. We'd have a shutout and he'd be apologizing because they gave up too many yards. But that was one. So it's, there's a lot of things. And, of course, Dobbins Bennett got beat by the eventual national championship team at Tennessee High.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Matter of fact, Coach Rodney Burton, who has still helps with baseball, who has retired from coaching the football, he played in that game. It was pretty interesting listening to some of the stuff. That game he talked about a lot too. But Steve, we've got a football team coming back this year that we came in knowing that we was going to play a good Tennessee High team that had some really good talent. And that Dobbins Bennett team won last year, 33-13. And the good thing about that football team is we did lose some guys, but we got a lot of guys coming back off that team.
You know, that was so – we were so unsure this time last year about the Indians because it's coming off a 4-6 season. We didn't really know what to expect. The coaches had kind of a twinkle in their eye. They had liked what they had seen in the offseason and the preseason, so they certainly had a better idea than did we. But Tennessee High, if memory serves, kind of a broken play, found Jaden Kell on a long pass, and Tennessee High in the first quarter up 7-0. You're like, oh, my goodness, you know what? And then it was 33 straight points.
Yes.
And, Keller had another long play later in the game, so he had two touches for two touchdowns against the Dobbins Bennett defense that turned out to be outstanding last year. And that defense, I was looking back doing my preseason article, how many times the Indian rushing defense held the opponent to negative or next to no yards. It was 5 times, I think, that they did that. It was really remarkable. Now, coming back, there's a lot of players returning. You got Jackson Martin, fourth leading tackler, back at defensive end. You got some defensive tackles back. Booker is back, among others. Linebackers, Whitley led the team in tackles the last 2 years, had 101 last year. He's back at linebacker. There are spots at defensive end and another linebacking spot that they, last I talked to Joey, there's candidates there. They're happy with the candidates that may have not yet settled for the position. The secondary had a couple of losses. So there's a few holes defensively at every level that the Indians are looking to fill. But I certainly like the guys we got coming back. Jackson Martin has just been unblockable at defensive end at times.
Well,
and Whitley at linebacker just makes plays all over the field.
Whitley, I mean, you've got – we're coming into this season, and this is really outstanding that we're having – I was getting to that. So, you're talking about Whitley. He is – this is his senior year, and the last 2 years he's led the team in tackles.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we talk about some of the things we lost, but when you have – you got Nate Whitley coming back with 101 tackles, and then you got Jackson Martin who had 80 tackles last year. Now, you did lose Kabaki and Jet Harrison that had 109 tackles between the two of them, but still we see a lot of football teams that don't bring back at the high school level two of their top four leading tacklers on the team, and that's what we've got.
Yeah. So defensively – we're happy with what we're bringing back. And it's high school football. You always have positions of concern coming into any season. You know, you flip the page to the offense, and obviously it's easy to start with the skill position players, but let's start with those guys up front. I mean, the front five, the offensive line, the beef boys, as we call them, all those guys are coming back. You know, some of them pressed into duty last year because of injuries. That was unfortunate, but on the flip side, now they've got experience. There's good depth there. This offensive line is as good as an offensive line as and we've had some good ones.
Well,
they're as good as we've had.
Well, you know, that last year, that was one of the things, Steve. You know, as the season was like going, we can't take another lineman going down. We can't take another lineman going down. And these guys came in and stepped up. And exactly what Coach Christian told us on media day was exactly what threw my hand this year when I started talking about this football team is the misfortunes of the offensive line last year, which stepped up all the way through, even the guys that came in. Well, if you at the first of the year, and that's one thing about football you don't understand, but at the first of the year, there was guys that you didn't even talk about playing on this football team this last year.
Yeah.
And it was all an offensive line because the offensive line was so good last year. Well, we had injuries, and what happened is these guys got experience last year and played great last year. So it's very exciting to see what they're gonna achieve this year.
You know, on the right side, Caden McNabb at tackle and Zach Ferguson at guard both suffered season-ending injuries. Ferguson went out, in game three?
Three, I think.
And McNabb, I think, was injured against Jeff County, if I remember correctly. Center Caleb Burleson returns. Aiden Neal was one of those that started, I think, every game but one last year. And then he's at left guard at left tackle is Ethan Murray. So he got a lot of experience last year. You look, however, at tight end. You know, there's a hole there on offense needs to be filled. There's candidates there, all seniors, but one that's a newcomer to the football team. But they're excited about Gage Hensley. And they're also talking about Jackson Martin and Nate Whitley. But those are defensive guys too.
Yeah. And I think Coach, we heard Coach. He's brought up the new guys is Gage Hensley and Gage is a baseball player, pitches for the team and played football, gave it a break, but decided to come back out this year. And I know the coach has been highly excited about him and thinks that he has to be somewhere in the mix for this football team to do well. But yeah, because at the tight end spot, you don't want your two leading tacklers running a lot of plays on the tight end side.
No. You know, you've also got Gage backing up Jackson Martin on the two deep at defensive end. You've also got Collier starting at defensive tackle, who's listed as a backup on the offensive line, Blake Collier. So it's, you know, you got to sometimes in high school football, you rob one side to benefit the other. Traditionally, Dobbins Bend has tried to limit that as much as possible. So,
and especially up front.
Yeah, especially
in your front seven on defense and your offensive line, we've tried to – those guys, they beat and beat and beat on each other. That's where those guys get tired.
And then, of course, you talk about the skill positions. I mean, Zane Whitson last year, 24 touchdown passes, one interception. You know, that's not numbers you're ever going to hear again. And the one interception, frankly, was a long punt,
yes,
at Boone.
Yes.
That was the only pick.
That's the only pick.
You know, so he's 134 out of 223 for 1,945 yards last year. He rushed for 320 in five scores. And all he did during the shutdown for the pandemic was put on 26 pounds of muscle.
Yep.
Grew a couple inches.
Yep.
You know, I think a lot of people out there put on 26 pounds. They didn't put it on the way Zane Whitson did.
I'm trying to lose that 26 pounds.
So, you know, he's a different looking quarterback, and I like what he said. You know, he said, look, I've worked on myself. I've worked on my body because, you know, obviously last year, a little bit more frail, if you will, kind of concerned about getting hurt. He said, I put myself in a position to make myself physically ready so we can open up the playbook and not worry so much about me getting hurt.
And that is good because there's no question, Steve, like last year, you know, you're always concerned when your quarterback runs, even if he's running quarterback. But it's just like, you know, from last year, the size of him, he didn't play the size that he was. When he took off, he was very aggressive as a runner. And the year he had last year, you know, what we've seen is him really putting together and working hard on getting bigger, getting stronger, and getting better. That has to start with him, but Whitson was one last year, Steve. If somebody threw them numbers at us, we'd have laughed. We knew the kid had talent. We knew we saw him in some spots the year before. You know, maybe some mop up, maybe the quarterback lost his helmet or something like that. But you just don't know when it's your time. And he proved that he was ready to play under those lights. Yeah.
Really, really enjoyed what the two-back system did for the Indians last year, too, with now seniors Phillip Armitage and Tyler Tesner. I mean, Armitage, the two of them combined for 1,680 yards, 882 for Armitage, 798 for Tesner. They had 19 combined touchdowns, and they've done work both in the offseason to get a little quicker, be a little bit more explosive. So, you know, and I like that. And
you've got Joey Carter sitting back there that's a junior that played some last year and some mop-up stuff. That shows a lot of potential as well.
Yes, absolutely. You know, they're happy with their depth at running back. Obviously, those two seniors are going to carry the load primarily.
Absolutely.
No question about that. At wide receiver, you know, some spots to fill there, but there's some folks coming back from injury, some newcomers, a youngster, Jonathan Gillespie, they're excited about in the slot receiver, Braden Marshall. We don't even know about Braden Marshall.
Yeah.
He was hurt all last year. And he's about 6'4" athlete.
We was all excited about him and what he was going to do and with him being hurt, he just didn't get an opportunity. I know you've run a half marathon. Go ahead and catch your breath.
No, go ahead. I'm ready.
So coach, I don't know.
Best shape of my life right here.
But coach, we're just getting into the team and appreciate. We know we were talking about while you were doing practice. You know, the key before we get back on some of the players is be fluid, be adaptive, understand that change is going to happen. And I think you've had to experience a little bit of that even today. It just in the last 20 minutes about how you have to go about practicing maybe some things that is not necessarily on the field.
Oh gosh, yeah, you're right about change. You know, change is the only constant that is high school football this year. You know, it's gone from obviously, you know, every coach in our area, every coach in the state. You know, we hate the unknown as coaches. We want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day, what the team's going to do, and all this. And I'm telling you right now, we don't know what's going to happen the next minute or the next hour. Well, I try to stress that to our team that things are going to change. And, you know, and the team that's able to handle that change the best is going to win a lot of games this year. And hopefully with a senior-laden team that we have, you know, I hope that – you know, we can be come out on top of some games because we are able to be a little flexible and adapt to those changes.
Coach, we were in on the offensive side of the football for your team, and you know, it starts. We actually started it at as good as some of the skill position players that you have coming back. We really took it back. First of all, it starts with the offensive line and some of the experience that you've got coming back on that offensive line.
You know. Yes, you know, very, very love those guys. You know, I think every game at every level starts and ends right there on that offensive line. I've said that because that's coming from an old offensive line coach as well. But it's true. And the five guys, you know, we put them out there from left to right, being Ethan Murray at left tackle, at left guard. You know, we're a little unsure at that spot, whether it be Aiden Neal or if it's Ryder Brown, sophomore in there.
Wow.
And then at center, we have Caleb Burleson, was all region last year. He's a returner. And at right guard, we got Zach Ferguson. Zach Ferguson was probably our best lineman last year for at least the first nine quarters of the season. Then he tore his shoulder up against Bearden.
Yep.
And didn't get to play. And then right tackle, we have Cade McNabb, who has had a super summer and camp and what little, you know, the little bit of time that we've got to practice. So love those six guys right there. And I think that, you know, I know Coach Hayworth does such a good job with them and expect big things out of them. But, you know, it's you still got to come together. They got to play as one and make sure that they get all their calls and everything that they do. The only bad part is that those five, if Aiden was the left guard, four of them have had surgery, you know, over the time. You know, Zach, like I said, nine quarters, he tore his shoulder against Bearden. Aiden Neal finished the last, golly, he hurt it at Boone, so ever how many games that was, about the last eight games of the year with he had a torn labrum, played through that. Ethan Murray breaks his ankle at Jeff County, and Cade McNabb tore his knee about two plays earlier at Jeff County. The second quarter was not kind to us at Jeff County either. So, but yeah, those guys, man, are, you know, and they love football. They love Dobbins Bennett football, and you have to. As an offensive line, we may be talking about them right now, but ain't many people ever talk about them, you know, except when they do something bad. And those guys are selfless in the way they approach and the way they do the game. And I'm just so happy for them to be a part of it. And I expect big things out of them.
And like you said, unfortunately, we talked about them a lot last year, but it wasn't because of being on the football field.
The injury bug last year, we didn't avoid that.
Me and you had a lot of conversations about the Red Cross report, and unfortunately had a lot of offensive linemen on it. But that was last year. Coach, one of the unique positions that transforms you from offensive line to your skill position, guys, is that unique guy, and that's a tight end. Now, I know a tight end guy is turned more into a catching guy, but he's still a blocking guy.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you got some multiple guys that are looking at that, and what can you say about that position?
Well, we got three seniors there that we're gonna do a swinging door at for that, because they're all three guys that will play on defense at times. But you know, Nate Whitley played a lot there last year. He got hurt in the Hardin Valley, at the very end of the Hardin Valley game, sprained his ankle. You remember he missed a couple of games there.
Which he still had 101 tackles with us after that.
Yeah, he led us in tackles still, even after missing those two games. But you know, we'll start with Nate there. And he does very good as far as catching the ball, running good routes. Obviously, he's got such a high football IQ. He understands our offense. But then, like you said, the first thing that we're going to ask him to do is get in that core and block.
Yeah.
And they're going to have, and they're all going to have to do that. The other one is Jackson Martin. Listen, Jackson Martin's been two-time All-Region, just like Nate's been two-time All-Region on the defensive side of the ball. Jackson Martin might be the best route runner we have on our team. Phenomenal kid. He's also put on weight. This year, good weight, not like me. He's put on good weight, and he's and we expect big things of him at tight end, and of course we know he is at defensive end. And the third one is Gage Hensley, a baseball player, played his freshman year, is back out his senior year. Man, he looks good, and we're just trying to get his football legs underneath him, and you know, to understand a lot of nuances in our offense. Our offense is not easy by no stretch of the imagination. But
and you've not had a lot of practice time with it.
And
either.
We haven't had a lot of practice time. We will see Gage more and more and more as the year goes along, as he gets more comfortable. But you'll see him in there Friday night as well.
So go to your wide receivers now, and I know we'll go quickly because we're running.
Yeah.
But where are we at with wide receivers? I know we lost a few guys like from last year's team.
Yeah, we lost, Dalton Harkelrud was so much to our team last year.
Just a gamer.
Yeah, just absolute gamer. Gosh, mighty, just such a and such a great kid, man. I tell you, we miss him. We'll miss him as a player. I'll miss being around him. He was so fun to be around. But you know, at our outside guys. You know, we're going to start out with Hayden Shear. You know, Hayden was kind of Rookie of the Year last year, coming on as a sophomore. Really caught some big balls. Had over 100 yards receiving in the Johnson City game last year. We'll move him from the slot out to outside. Now, we'll still see him in the slot some as well. You know, we're going to mix these guys around and let them play different spots in there. But him and the other guy on the outside is Braden Marshall. Remember, Braden got hurt last year, a non-contact injury in a preseason practice. Had knee surgery, missed his junior year. Braden's come back, and he's hungry, you know, and he is a big kid. He's y'all got a roster there, whatever. 17, Braden Marshall. He's probably about 6'2", 186, 4.
You got him with 6'4", 195.
And he probably, you know, gosh, his dad's probably about 6'6". He's a big kid. He can be a matchup problem. I mean, he don't have the blazing speed. He's not going to just wow you by running past you. But when you're 6'4", if you're 5'8" trying to cover him, you're going to lose a lot of balls, like just on that, just on height alone. Does a great job at the 50-50 ball, and certainly Zane ain't afraid to throw it up to him, and we ain't afraid to throw it up to him. Uses his body extremely well, shielding off the defender. And to back those up, you know, we had Trent Cody, played some at wide receiver last year. We'll have to ask more of him this year. We have Sam Ritz.
That's a baseball name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, Sam's going to have a great year for us. Sam will be the backup Z when he gets in there. And, you know, we're going to play those guys.
Yep.
Every two plays, we're going to put a new person in. And honestly, if on first down we throw the deep ball and they got to take a route, then it'll be the second play Sam will be there. You know, at the end of the night, we think that their number of plays, the volume, will be the same for all of them. And Isaac Ratliff will spend time on the outside as well. So we got five guys we feel comfortable with to play those two positions. And in the slot position, you know, we have Alex Kitzmiller back. Alex made some big catches for us, you know, in the Oak Ridge game. He caught a first down there in the Oak Ridge game. It turned out to be a huge play for us in a Farragut game. He made a big catch for us. You know, Alex is one of those guys that he's not going to overwhelm you or just wow you with his athleticism or his speed, but he's going to make a play. He's going to get where Alex is supposed to be, and he's going to make a play, and we'll put himself there. And then, you know, the guy that could be the Rookie of the Year this year would be sophomore Jonathan Gillespie, coming over from basketball. You know, Jonathan is he really is in that slot position. You know, he's not the biggest guy, but I swear he would remind you of that Edelman type guy, you know, when you have to put that outside linebacker on him, or if you're going to bracket him with a safety and an outside linebacker. Oh man, if he finds that space, and another guy last year, what we always used to say on the freshman team was he would catch the ball. He is, I swear, pound for pound, he's got to be the strongest kid in the program from his belly button down. His core and legs are so strong. He just slips out of tackles. We just said he was slippery. Like, yeah, Nobody could tackle him. If you tackle him from around the waist, around the hips, if it's an arm tackle, you just ain't going to do it. He's just so slippery
there. And Alvin Kamara right there is slippery. That type of running
back. Yes, and that's the way, and I think you're going to see that out of Jonathan. You know, we'll get him back tomorrow and you know, we'll have to kind of slowly get him into it, but I expect huge things out of Jonathan Gillespie this year.
Well, Coach, we've left your backfield last, and the reason why is that's probably where your most experience is. You've got this big offensive lineman line, and then all of a sudden you got your two best running backs coming back.
Well, yeah, we do. You know, Thunder and Lightning is back. You know, I heard y'all touch on it as I was driving over here, getting stopped by every red light and on Stone Drive. You know, you're right. Phil's put on a little weight. You know, and he can be that little bowling ball type kid. You know, he's just a you know, feels very passionate about what he does. Now, sometimes But sometimes, you know, it can get the best of him. We got to get that under control. He's dealing with a little bit of a lower extremity injury, but and Tyler has probably lost about 5 pounds, but the 5 pounds has been
huge.
Oh man, I'm telling you, he doesn't. I don't think he looks like, if you look at him to the eye test, but I know athletically, he doesn't even look like the same kid. He is definitely at least a step faster. And I think he is poised to have just a super breakout year. But another one, though, guys, that to not sleep on at that running back position is another sophomore that had a huge year on the freshman team last year, is Caleb Baker. Listen, this little guy, now if you looked at him, you'd say, Coach, I don't know, what are we putting him back there for? Ain't he a little small? Well, yeah, you know. He probably is a little small in his body, but I'm telling you, his heart doesn't know how small he is. He runs with power to be probably 160 pounds or whatever, you know, that he is. But that little guy has got a little speed to him, and he's also got a little slippery. He's very elusive, and you might see him in that backfield a little bit too.
Well, we're going to touch on Zane, but everybody knows what Zane Whitson brought to the team and everything else, and we're running on a little short time, and we'll get in a little on that pregame. But no question, Zane has definitely worked in the offseason, and we'll touch on that. But you know, he is your quarterback of your football team, and we know what he did last year, and I know you're expecting a lot of great things out of him as well. Coming into that, but Coach, let's get on the defense real quick. Starts up front again with you.
Oh yeah, yeah. We got start at D tackle right there. We got four guys at defensive tackle that I think you'll see in at different times during the night. We got Blake Collier and Fonzo Booker. You know, both of them played a whole lot of football last year, and eventually, when we had the injuries on the offensive line, we kind of had to take Collier off and put him exclusively on the offensive side. But, listen, Blake Collier, Fonzo Booker are two really good high school defensive linemen. Fonzo, when Fonzo is locked in and is keyed in, Fonzo, he just
looks like a football player.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I'd hate to have to block him, I swear. When he gets behind himself and rolls his hips, he's a phenomenal player and can run a little bit, get down the line and make plays. Behind them, we have Tucker Harold and Moises Galvin, and they'll play in there as well. Now, they're kind of situational guys. We got to manage them and everything. But now you ain't gonna move them. There's not many high school offensive linemen is going to be able to move them. They are true guys that can anchor in there. Kind of reminds you of some of the older defensive tackles that, you know, you used to see that would just really anchor in and do just such a great job of holding the point right there. Defensive end, the guy we've already talked about, Jackson Martin, two-time All-Region, got him back. That makes me feel good when somebody like Jackson is back. And then spelling him will be, or at least on the other side, is Levi Evans, who's a junior. You just talk about Zane putting on a lot of weight. We talked about Phillip putting on a lot of weight. Levi Evans is, I don't know what he's put on. He's probably put on 30, 35 pounds since the end of basketball season. Really looks good. Expect huge things from Levi this year. He's dealing also with a little bit of a lower extremity issue, but I think he'll be ready to go. Backing those guys up, Blake Dunford, a junior, and Gage Hensley, the baseball player senior that we talked about, and once again, when Gage gets his football legs underneath him, I have all the faith in the world in Gage, you know, when he's able to get there, and he'll play Friday as well. He'll play there Friday as well.
And Coach, last couple of years, you've been very fortunate because it's kind of like the old school Dobbins been at defenses, and that's very athletic at the defensive end. You like being very athletic.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think obviously you lose a player like Jet Harris, you know, that is going to hurt you on some level. But listen, all those guys that I mentioned right there, they're athletic enough. They can play and they can make plays for us.
Linebacker Whitley, you mentioned coming back. Got a hole to fill there with Kobacki being gone. I know that was Last time I talked to you, you were still unsure there. What have you learned since then?
Well, we've learned that we got who we got, and we're going to play with them, and I think they'll be good. We're just inexperienced.
Yeah.
You know, Phil Armitage can play there. Like I said, he's dealing with a little bit of injury right now. And Phil'll be all right there. You know, if you remember back, Braxton got hurt 2 years ago. Braxton got hurt his junior year. Phil started 5 games at Will linebacker his sophomore year by necessity. So, you know, Phil will be fine there. But listen, behind him, we got Sam Ritz. Sam Ritz can run with anybody. Sam Ritz can run as far as his inside linebackers. He can run with anybody in the state. Now, we got to get Sam to make sure that he can break down and make a tackle in space and do things like that. But listen, Sam Ritz will make a whole lot of plays for us as a linebacker.
But having Nate in the mock position has got to help that whole core about making sure they're in, because he's really kind of your quarterback of the defense.
Oh, yeah. And Nate will get us lined up. And like you said, he's the quarterback of the defense, and he does a great job at that, and we'll do that. And but listen, behind Nate, Aiden Handy and Ethan Tweed, you know, listen, I feel good about them. If we had to put them out there, we'll get through, and it'll be there won't be a drop off there very much.
Secondary, let's just finish it out before we turn the page to Tennessee High.
Sure, secondary, you know, we got 3 of our 5 starters back from last year. Isaac Ratliff and Thomas Church started 13 games last year. I think they've gotten a little faster and a little, you know, I don't know if they've gotten any bigger, but they've gotten faster. I think they'll be ready to go. I know Coach Gaines coaches them hard, and they should be a very positive thing. I think they'll be a lot more comfortable in the run support this year. Hopefully we won't need them as much, just like we did last year, but they were very comfortable there. Backing them up, you know, we got Chase Jenkins. We could slide back to safety, and we got Patrick Mitchell. You know, just we're confident there as well. At our Sam linebacker, Chase Jenkins, you know, we'll start out there. Caleb Baker will back him up. Those two guys, I think that's a pretty deep position for us. Tesner could play there as well. I expect big things out of Chase and Caleb if we had to play it. At cornerback, you know, Trent Cody played a little bit as a sophomore. He started every game last year. Having him back will be really big. Trent, really, in some ways, Trent's the strongest guy on our team. So strong. When we get into a press-type situation, I mean, receivers can't get off the ball. Trent will run you out of bounds. He'll run you through the fence there at DB. I mean, Lord, if you're on the sidelines, you better watch out, because he'll knock opposing coaches out. At the other corner, you know, we got us a little dogfight going on there. Sam Roman and Hunter Minton kind of battling out that position. I think we'll see both of them there. And then if we had a fourth corner, you know, Jonathan Gillespie could also do that. And Ishaan Graves, I think he's a potential guy that could play corner as well. So I hope we can establish the pass rush like we did last year, because that, you know, if you get a good pass rush, heck, we could play corner back there at safety, you know. I mean, there was times last year it didn't matter. I mean, poor Jetton Jackson was on the quarterback so fast that he didn't have a chance to throw it anywhere. We didn't have to cover. So I hope we can generate that same type of pass rush and everything like we did last year against Tennessee High and the other 12 games that we played. You know, we'll see. That'll help our secondary out a lot if we can do that.
Well, Coach, we got about 2 minutes. Now, we're going to sit here and talk a few minutes, if that's okay, after the fact. So,
yeah.
What you don't find out about Tennessee High's game is look it up on Tri-City Sports after Steve gets his article wrote, and you'll find out exactly what we're up against. But, Coach, in a couple of minutes, what do you see Tennessee High bringing the challenge up at the Stonecastle Friday night?
Well, I see a great coached football team. Mike Mays and – gosh, if I went through Darrell Shanks and Wally Prophet and all their coach, Matt Chandler, man, and Mike Womford, you know, listen, they got – I have the utmost respect for Mike. We played together in college, and his staff. I know they're going to be an extremely well-coached football team. We know that every year. What to expect? I don't know if we – I don't. We don't know. You know, there's no scrimmages. There's no film. Never in 24 years of coaching have we ever went in, if I ever went into a game totally blind. Like, I mean, like, who's their starters? I don't know. What are they going to do offensively? Well, I know one. Yeah, I probably could name a couple, actually. But, what offense are they running? They've always been distinctively two completely different offenses, spread and wing T. Which one are they going to run? I don't know. We're preparing for both of them, which means you're really not prepared for either.
Going,
and